From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams hosting, but it's going to be interesting because we have Steve Ryman as one of our guests and Chip Lusko in studio with me. Chip has been running Connection Communications pretty much since Connection Communications came into being, right, Chip?
Well, yes.
Are you the innovator? I mean, did Skip come and say, Chip, we need to learn how to communicate?
Yeah. He came to me and said, take what's happening in the sanctuary and get it outside these walls. And I came up with the concept of Connection Communications.
And it has, really. And we're going to talk about today in this episode about a lot of things going on in the media, media content that Calvary is putting out, social media, television, radio, et cetera. Of course, want to welcome our listeners in today. But, hey, there's some breaking news, and we're really going to tie it to leadership. I mean, you are a big sports fan, and the Broncos are your team. And, of course, Steve Ryman's team is the Philadelphia Eagles, which is they're in the Super Bowl. But we really want that to be a catalyst about leadership.
Yeah. We just heard that the Broncos hired a new head coach, which has been their habit every 2 years or so. And that's, you know, think about the teams with tremendous leadership. I think, and Steve Ryman's here. Steve, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have had in their history three or four coaches, period.
Yeah.
Chuck Knoll.
Yep.
Yes. The commentator guy.
Yep. And Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher. Yep. And the current coach.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, in my lifetime, I want to say, three?
Right.
And yeah, it's a storied franchise, and a lot of respect for you know, the longevity of their leaders.
Well, but Steve, I mean, bring that very same thing to the Philadelphia Eagles. They were not good last year, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and actually, our coach, Sirianni.
Yes.
He is the second Philadelphia Eagle coach in his second year to go to the Super Bowl. The other one being Doug Peterson, who Chip, off the air, you mentioned what he did in way of leadership this year.
It's really important, and it's really football, but non-football. It applies to every area of life, to our homes, how we lead our families, in our jobs, in schools, and in sports and government. Leadership is the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it really it changes the culture. It changes the locker room, if you will. But Doug Peterson took over a team last year with 2-14. I mean, they couldn't have been worse. And they're in the playoffs this year. So above and beyond football, it tells us how crucial leadership is.
When you talk about leadership, I mean, one of the criticisms that I hear about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is that he was persecuted, and he was seen by half the people. Or maybe, I don't know if half is right. I kind of had my idea that Jesus would share something, and the gospel was offensive to some. And some would call that not leadership. But despite what everybody else did, the way he was treated, if he was struck, he loved. If he was he was kind always. I mean, it's just amazing what Jesus did as a leader.
So good.
You know,
because he spoke to leadership very clearly. He told his followers, this is how the world, if you were the Roman world, leads. But he used that crucial pivot phrase, it shall not be so among you. And because in the world, you work up the pyramid to the pinnacle. And from there flows authority, and privilege flows up, and authority flows down. In the church, in the upside down kingdom of Jesus, we work our way down to become servants, and we support those above us. And we aren't looking for the perks and the congratulations. And he said, that's so crucial. He said, it shall not be so among you.
This is really a question for you and Steve Chip, and I'll start with you. The young people that are athletes in the NFL, many of them, it is said, do not have really happy upbringings that they can think back of, but now they're highly successful athletes. And it's almost every case. You mention the new coach of the Broncos, Coach Peterson, who left Philadelphia and is now at Jacksonville. You know, they were a playoff team and they were horrible a year before. It seems to me that when the players talk about these coaches, and I'm sure this happens in women's sports as well. I've heard a lot about that back. I've heard about Gino Auriemma at UConn and others who have been not parental figures, but people that could almost assist a parent with parenting their children and stepping up and challenging these athletes and kind of being an extension, if you will, away from their families, away from home, because many of these athletes are way away from where they were brought up and grown up, and yet they are having success because of the structure that these coaches bring to their lives.
So important. I was listening to a study this weekend about John Wooden and the importance that he had an 88-game winning streak. Jim, you know this as a basketball yes. player. I want to talk in a minute about your experience as a Division I basketball player and your coaches in high school and how they impacted and affected you and how you responded. But John Wooden, at 54 years of age, began an amazing streak. He won 10 NCAA championships. He won 88 games in a row.
I think he won 9 in a row, and then there was a year, and then he won another one.
He won 10 total. What I'm
10
saying.
Total, right,
he won
right, 80, right.
But he won 88 games in a row in yes. during one stretch of at least two seasons. The point being this, that he's been named the greatest coach of all time, even above Vince Lombardi. And the fact is, though, before his 54th birthday, he spent like 17 years coaching other colleges, 11 years coaching high schools, and had almost no success of any significant nature. And so it speaks to us about leadership is not something that just pixie dusted upon you. It's something learned. It's something that you observe and absorb, and then you practically apply in trial and error. Don't you agree?
I agree. And I also believe that leaders never stop learning. Mm. You've seen people that
leaders
have,
are readers. I mean, there you go.
That's right. But I've seen people that are so-called leaders, but they ascend to a position where they become arrogant, for lack of a better term, and they stop learning. And the people that I know that have been really successful leaders are servants. They're people that'll do anything for you.
Precisely what Jesus said. Yes. You shall be a servant to all. Mm. That's what he came to do. Steve, your thoughts and your experiences with leadership in your life.
Well, I actually want to, if we can, go back to something Jim was talking about, how Jesus obviously wasn't concerned how the truth would be received. I mean, he the truth was the truth, and he was going to bring it. And we're talking about, you know, we've gone to the NFL slant, and I want to bring back into the conversation leadership in the NFL. Now, he's not currently coaching, but Tony Dungy, who coached at least a couple of teams, the Indianapolis Colts and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this last week was part of the March for Life in Washington, D.C., in spite of criticism from actually, co-workers at NBC, where he's one of the analysts there for Football Night in America. But he gave a speech at the march. It was the 50th March for Life.
Yes.
He urged the audience to pray for the unborn, the same way fans prayed for the recovery of Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin. I mean, how crazy was that? Now, how long ago, Chip, you're a Denver Bronco fan, how long ago was it people were getting on your quarterback for kneeling and praying? Just recently we saw a whole team on the sideline doing it. And, maybe God's doing a work. It's great to see. But back to the leadership, there's men like that aren't, they're not being silent but they're being meek. I would say Tony Dungy is a meek man.
He is a guy, Steve, I would tell you, that has kindness and truth tied around his neck.
And for those, you two know what I'm saying when I say meek, power under control.
Steve, can I read something from Proverbs 31 today? Because today's the 31st, so I read the corresponding chapter of Proverbs. And it says in Proverbs 31:8, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. So for those who cannot speak for themselves, who does that describe other than an unborn child? And Tony Dungy, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but we've talked with CareNet, we've talked with the Right to Life ministry folks, and the amazing thing about this is that they love people who have had abortions. In fact, a large portion of the ministry are women that have had abortions, and now realize how that affected them emotionally and everything else, and why it was something that they try to share now with women to be careful of and to really consider carefully.
Hey, Jim, you mentioned CareNet. We recently had them on ABQ Connect, and they've had this program actually a while, but recently there's like 3,000 CareNets around the country. Mm-hmm. 20 of them were selected to have this program get grants from the National CareNet, and it's based, the program is to teach fathers how to be dads.
Yes. And that's really going to tie into some of the other things we're going to talk about at Leadership with Dads. And we're going to be back in just a minute. I'm with Chip Lusko and Steve Ryman here on ABQ Connect. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE.
Jim Williams here with you, hosting ABQ Connect, sitting in Steve Ryman's chair. Steve visited with us the first segment, and he will see you again tomorrow. So I hope you'll listen to ABQ Connect. Chip Lusko in studio with me, and we're talking really about leadership, and we're talking about the courage that Tony Dungy's had at the Right to Life March, and we're talking about leadership with coaches in the NFL and how they've completely turned things around. We've talked about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the face of persecution and even death, and the leadership and the serving that he's shown. And we're going to talk about dads and a lot of other things, but I can't help but think about my own coaches, Chip.
Well, I want to go there, Jim, very, very much. Because you played Division I basketball, which is out of the reach for most players. I played Division II football, and I understand that, there's a whole different level. But we all had coaching experiences, and it made a difference. I mean, they were like mini gods. Whatever they said went.
Yes.
For example, and I really want to hear your experience, both in high school here in Albuquerque and at UNM, where you were a standout player for the Lobos. But for example, in the positive side, there was a rule with the coaches, and I played all four sports in high school, that there was no second chance. If you were caught with alcohol, you were off the team. It was no like, I'm sorry. No, boom. I never had a drink throughout high school because I was terrified of being kicked off the team. Mm-hmm. And playing sports, was a huge deal for me. What was your experience like?
Chip, I can only summarize my experience. When I was a freshman, I got cut from the basketball team.
Mm.
And I got asked about 3 days after the first cut to come back on the team because one of the players that had made it had left the school and actually moved to Aztec, New Mexico. And I was one of the tallest people in the school, so they just kind of let me be on the team. But the reason I didn't make it is because I was scared to death of contact. So I went through my freshman year in high school at El Dorado High School in Albuquerque, and I played in one game for 30 seconds. And I had coaches yelling at me and not necessarily really contributing to helping me because I was afraid of them too. Well, then right after my freshman year, there was a coach that moved to Albuquerque. Our head coach at El Dorado High School is a guy named Lanny Winters, and his brother Ron moved to Albuquerque. And first thing Ron did, we got to Albuquerque, and this is, May of my freshman year, is he said, I want you in the gym 3 times a week. 6 o'clock in the morning, and all we're going to be doing is playing. And he went to a lot of the other kids my age and some of the sophomores. And so that began a period where Ron was a lot of things. He was a tremendous athlete personally. He was probably at the time 32, 35 years old, had a lot of success, and he was coaching. And this was going to be the first team that he coached as a C team coach at El Dorado. So I went from never playing to our first game as a C team player. We played Bernalillo and I scored 43 points. And then they put me on the JV, and it what happened in between time is Ron Winters was playing basketball with us 3-4 times a week. And everything he did was teaching us how to not be afraid. He was teaching us about body contact, and he was teaching us about how to deliver a blow as an offensive player rather than letting the defender hit you. I mean, just a lot of things I can remember, verbatim what he used to teach us. And through that process, I was no longer afraid. And then developing skills and maturing physically, you know, it's kind of like the Lord was doing all the stuff in the background to mature me, but he was using these men. Again, Lanny Winters left, and then they brought in a gentleman named Gerald Snyder, who has since passed away, and I really appreciated him. And then when I went to UNM, and maybe a lot of people listening now won't appreciate this, but I'm going to tell you, my coach for my first 3 years at UNM was Norm Ellenberger. And I love Norm Ellenberger. Norm Ellenberger helped me so much. He cared about all of us. He was with all of us. Everything that he ever did, whether or not it broke an NCAA rule, was to help us. For example, I mean, he made sure that guys had a place to live, and he made sure that guys had food on the table. And there were kids that couldn't afford that. And there was just things that Norm did to take care of all of his players. And I really appreciated everything he did and taught me. And I learned so much being a New Mexico Lobo. And I will tell you, the fans were awesome too. They help you in leadership, because if they see you compromise, if they see you not hustling, if they let you know, they let you know. Mm-hmm. Here's the biggest lesson that I learned as we had success. We were the fourth ranked team in the country in 1978. And I had a big head on my shoulders. And I can't remember Jerry's last name, but I walked into the ticket office pretty pompous and pretty arrogant and demanded that my 4 seats be left in someone's name so that they could pick them up and go to the game. And a woman that ran the ticket office at UNM says, "Hey, come around the back here. I want to talk to you." So I went around the back door, and Jerry just chewed me out and said, you've become this arrogant, big-headed knucklehead, and it really disappoints me. I mean, and I just began to weep, and I just said, "I'm so sorry. It's not that I didn't know I was doing it, but nobody had brought it to me." And so that might have been the biggest lesson, Chip, right there, about being humble no matter how much success you're having or not.
Such an important principle, Jim, because this is not just a sports conversation. Yes. Moms are coaches.
Yes.
Teachers are coaches, and coaches are coaches. You know, so we all have somebody influencing and directing and correcting our lives. And the philosophy of coaching is so important. I remember back when there was a change in the coaching culture. It used to be the General Patton school of coaching. You know, "I'll tell you what to do," and ours is not to do or die and not to wonder why. And that was what many corporations adopted. General Motors, Ford Motor Company really had that idea of coaching that is, you know, just rule people with an iron fist.
Yes.
But it became clear in some studies and some psychological analysis that really wasn't ultimately effective.
Well, think about it. You already mentioned John Wooden.
Right.
John Wooden never did any of that.
None of that.
And people need to realize this, especially people in the faith community. One of the greatest players, if not the greatest, I would argue, was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was a Muslim man, became a Muslim when he was a student at UCLA. And John Wooden was a very Christian person. And I will tell you, Lew Alcindor, Now Kareem Abdul-Jabbar loves John Wooden, and John Wooden loves him. And then you have a guy like Bill Walton, who is about as far out there, you know, really super smart guy, great athlete, ended up getting injured and different things, but had the same kind of great relationship. And you can just go down the list. That's great leadership.
Yes. Well, I've seen it personally, both in the receiving end. I've had people who, you know, ruled my life. I've had some unique personalities that were just a little bit crazy. Yeah, I'm frank with you. I mean, they were interesting. They were charismatic and they were successful. But wow, they were no fun to work for.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm trying to say that. So as I've adopted my leadership philosophy, I don't want to be a General Patton. You know, I want to be a John Wooden. I want the new concept that came out like 20 years ago was management by wandering around. And it was the 60-second manager, that it's better to walk around, how you doing, what can we do together, than have a 60-minute meeting with people and have a checklist and an agenda and all that. And so I want to be an encourager. Now, the buck has to stop somewhere, and there's a time for, you know, formality. But I love the concept of being a servant to all.
I want to ask you about... But I want to turn a corner and talk to you about some individuals that we have connections with here at the radio station that are doing ministry in a very courageous way. For example, how as a woman do you go to a country like Uganda, lose your husband in the process, and continue to build a ministry as Beveridge has done in Uganda?
And you have to insert there, Jim, it's a patriarchal society. Women are, I mean, the feminist revolution, you know, has not happened in many of these countries, or at least never really taken traction. And so she's doing it in a country that women do not do leadership in large part. And so she's had to defer in some cases spiritually. And but it's a phenomenal testimony to her fortitude. Easily she could have come back here and said, my husband died in his sleep. Didn't expect this. You know, let's turn the baton over. She hasn't, and she's such a joy, Jim, to work with. And we're doing some good things.
So let's mention another one. How do you decide as a young family person, former assistant pastor at Calvary Church, to give up everything, move to your father's home country of Australia, and plant a church?
Rough. You have to be called. You have to be confident you're called. And Cody's done some terrific things on there, and I'm following him. Of course, they're 12 hours ahead of us, but I'm behind following him. But I'm seeing. We tried to reach out to him for today's program, but he's been one of our great missionaries of the month here at KLYT, and I'm so excited because Australia is such a needy country.
Yes, well, and Cody's a gifted teacher. And sat for many years, I mean, since he was a little boy, under the teaching of Skip Heitzig. Mm-hmm. And do you learn leadership as you are part of a church community and sit under strong Bible teaching?
That's a great question, Jim. I think you learn two things. It depends on where you're at. But in the course of my broadcast and my ministry career, I've learned very positive examples. But there's been times I'm thinking back to my broadcast career where I walked out of a meeting and went, you know what? I never want to make people feel that way. Mm. And that really was a negative, but I made it into a positive.
Yes. We don't have a lot of time in this segment, but I do want to mention two others. Former strength coach at the University of New Mexico, Kevin Stark. He was a football player for the Lobos when I was playing basketball. Kevin decided to give up. I mean, frankly, what a career as a strength coach, making lots of money, going, you know, a lot of high profile stuff going on. His teams were really strong and not that many injuries. I mean, Kevin did a great job, but he decides to go with his wife, Laura, and to put on these demonstrations of strength and literally go around the world sharing the gospel.
Kevin is a blood brother. I love Kevin and Laura, the whole family, the De Jesus family here in Albuquerque, her side. And Kevin is, you're right, he's phenomenal. I mean, he's huge. He's
a big dude.
You know, my thigh is not as big as his bicep, but
They would have guys. Yeah. That he has a team.
Yeah.
The extreme team where they would bend iron bars.
No, tear phone books in half. In fact, we've invited them to come to Uganda for the Ginger Crusade. We can talk about that in a bit. But yeah, it's a fantastic thing and it works tremendously in some theaters of the world.
And I have to mention before we go on to the next segment, Bill Martin. Now, I do make fun of Bill.
Why?
Because Bill decided to go to Puerto Vallarta to plant a church.
Well, somebody has to go there. Well, it's not all you think it might be, but yeah, we're working with Bill and trying to work some orphanages support down there. And Bill's a really good guy. Spent many years here in Santa Fe at the Calvary up here, and then you say went off to Puerto Vallarta.
But
he's learned to speak Spanish. I mean, you know,
Chip, you've seen though in those kind of resort communities the things that we haven't seen as tourists off the beach. A mile inland, it's totally different.
Right. He has to go that far. In Belize, for example, we did work for many years with Clive down there in San Pedro and in the whole country from Belmopan on down. And yeah, from the outside, that's where some of the really glitzy TV shows are shot because it's gorgeous. Great diving, great fishing, great everything. But you, as you say, go inside just an inch deep and there are people with tremendous troubles.
Chip Lusko and Jim Williams in studio with you on ABQ Connect. Our next segment, we're going to talk about things coming up. Weekend to Remember, Reload Love, the Movement Conference, and we're going to talk about Skip's new prophecy series and much more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE, ABQ Connect.
So much appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams in studio with Chip Lusko. Chip, we have a lot of great things coming up in ministry.
It's exciting. You know, we've glanced back to the 40-year anniversary of Calvary, and that was fine and fun, but brief. And we're charging forward, Jim. It's just exciting to see the flow of God. As I look around this campus right now, and I spoke to our staff a week and a half ago and said, hey, let's time out, look around, look what God has done here. And I kind of said that this is like a flow of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I've been at every campus from the Far North Theater, actually from the Lakes apartment, I went there, Far North, Kaufman's, across from Pistol Pete Pizza on Eubank, and now here at this campus, and what God has done. And so, I mean, the flow is not stopped. So we're rushing forward, coming out of the COVID nonsense, and we have some tremendous projects on the burners.
Well, and let's mention some of those. Weekend to Remember coming up.
Yeah, we're supporting, as we have for many years, a family life, what they do with couples. Because I went to it years ago with my wife, and it's out this year, I believe, it's Tamaya again. Mm-hmm. And it's a real time to just kind of take put it on pause.
It's not always warm, fuzzy feelings, is it?
No. I went out there, hey, hi, I'm with the radio station. And I sat through the session and go, whoa, that kind of pierced me and convicted me. No, it definitely. But, you know, our marriages need that.
Yes.
And so we're encouraging families to go. I think we said there are some openings left, and we're advertising that on KLYT.
And give us a call here. Call the Connect line at 505-338-5790. If you have questions about these events, we can get you that information. Also go to klyt.fm, and we have banners up about each one of these events.
Right. So Family Life does a great job with the Weekend to Remember.
Reload Love has the Love Bomb coming up.
Yes, sir. And boy, Lenya and their crew over there, they are relentless. And they've done some tremendous things, and we support them totally. They're doing food campaigns for Ukraine. They do things all over the world. I mean, it began with a playground project, which was very unique and very creative and clever. And they've put playgrounds in all over. I went to Jordan, and they But when in there was.
But Chip, tell us where amazing. They put those playgrounds. They put playgrounds in the middle of an area where there's bullet holes in everything because of terrorist activity.
There's literal life-threatening danger where they go. And they've been over to the Far East, to Myanmar, and to Thailand. And, they've done a fantastic job. And they're supporting very crucial ministries all over the world, from Ukraine and on. So the Love Bomb is kind of a catalyst for the next year. People have the opportunity to fund this thing, and I can guarantee you the money goes to the front.
I don't know about the Peak Movement Conference. Talk to us about that.
It's not really a conference. It's the annual youth trip up to the Colorado ski areas. Mm. Normally they go to either Durango or Purgatory, but they generally go to Wolf Creek.
Nice.
And, it's a time, and Jim, you know this, retreats can be a life changer.
Yes.
They were for a couple of my kids. I'm sending a grandchild up to Wolf Creek for the Peak this year, mm-hmm. and they go up there and they, at this time they're doing sledding and tubing and snow events, and then they get back together and they have, of course, times of worship and fellowship, and then addressing the issues, because these teenagers today, Jim, they're facing things we never dreamt of. Mm. I mean, the social media has changed the whole paradigm, and the pornography and the lasciviousness of the whole generation. We have to, and what's happening in the binary world, which we'll talk about in just a minute here, is look, they're after our kids. I say they being the spirit of this world after our children, and we have to protect them.
I'm jealous about part of your job. You get the inside track on what Skip is about to present. Hmm. Talk to us about his new prophecy series.
It's so needed because, frankly, Jim, I think we take here at Calvary, at least, take for granted so much of the prophetic insight we've had from Chuck and from all the great teachers. Of course, Skip has been, regular in bringing his. Look, I think 27-28% of the Bible, the New Testament, is about prophecy, is about the second coming, is about the events surrounding the second coming. And yet, here's a little pet peeve of mine. People say, well, the church today is doing this and that and should be doing that. Well, wait a minute. Where's your statistics? Where's your research? Because, I'm busy with my church. I do have my ear to the ground in the church worldwide and domestically, and I listen to guys. But I don't know what the whole church is doing. How can I speak about the church in Iran or in China? I don't know. The fact being that I can observe this, that I think prophecy is being under-taught.
Yes.
I think you can listen to a lot of mainstream good Bible teachers and never know Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
I think you can listen to a lot of them and never know there's a Great Commission. And I'll get myself in trouble here with this one. I think you can listen to a lot of people and never know there's a church outside of America.
Mm.
And I think all those three issues are critical.
Well, you bring that up, and I can automatically, I have K.P. Yohannan come to mind, yeah. and what he's doing in South Asia. And just to listen about his own poverty as a child in South Asia, and then how they've placed people all throughout South Asia, and now, they've taken the untouchables, the Dalits in India, for example, and made them servants of the people in India now.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, I was asked this the other day. What are your concerns about the church? Aren't you worried about the deconstruction movement? What about the churches that are LGBTQ? I said, I'm not concerned about the church. I mean, I love the church. I'm not worried about the church. Here's why. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail. There's no demon. There's no human. There's no force that can stop me. So the church is going to get built. The thing is, that's the wrong question. The question is, because he'll go outside of us to reach the world. He has redundancy. He built the human body with two eyes, two lungs, et cetera, et cetera.
And in our last segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, about end times and
yeah, but I'm
signs.
Ranting. I'm ranting.
Well,
right
but
now.
I but the reason I want to stop you there because we do need to mention in upcoming events this segment about the Where's Dad video special.
Oh man!
And then I'm going to have you talk about Sodom because you're getting ready to go out to Tal al Hammam and see your wife who's digging in the dirt out there right now.
She is doing that. But I'll go back to my rant later. But so Where's Dad is a soft spot too. It's a documentary we did about fathers being absent in the home, and that's the original domino. We see a lot of the fruit, you know, the drugs, the pregnancies, the abortion, the crime, but the root is fathers not being present.
If you are a dad or a husband or a father, and not necessarily both, but if you are one of those, and you've messed up everything to this point, can God change it for you?
Absolutely. Totally, absolutely. Anybody listening who is in that condition, the shame shouldn't be the driving factor. Change it now. Take a step. You know, it may not be a wonderful immediate testimony, but start rebuilding that bridge. I can tell you that if you're a man who's, and I know guys who don't speak to their children, or vice versa, the children won't speak to them. And but start building that bridge. They want to hear from you. They may act differently, but in their hearts, they want to see if you're genuine in your attempt to reconstruct that relationship.
Chip, this might sound corny, but is there something supernatural behind the scenes if you pray, God, will you change this in my life? And then you take action. What does God do behind you?
Absolutely. God will come to your defense. I in this stage of my life, Jim, I got to tell you, I'm praying more than ever. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing answered prayers. Not every day, not every way I'd like, but God does answer prayer.
Mm. I mentioned you get to go see your wife. Mm. She is in Jordan at Tal al Hammam, the ancient city of Sodom, as described in the Bible. We've had, you know, Dr. Stephen Collins and Dr. Gary Byers, who are leading that dig. And really, this is the last one.
Big deal. It's a big dig. It's a big deal. And, of course, I'm talking to my wife multiple times, and I miss her tremendously. I'm going over next week for vacation. And, Jim, they've got almost 100 people on the site now. They've got film crews from Japan. They have a local film crew. They had interest from France. We have Dr. Collins here. We don't. What a treasure, what a gem, what a jewel he is.
I mean, that's one of the foremost archaeologists in the world.
It's true. Biblical archaeologists.
Yes.
No question about that. And so, I mean, they found, I'm watching what they're finding, and it's phenomenal to know what's happening in Tal al Hammam.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back, and the final 8-9 minutes is all about the binary trends, climate change, and death culture being signs.
Lightning round.
The signs of the end of the world, perhaps. We'll be back with Chip Lesko. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Final segment of ABQ Connect, Chip Lesko in studio with me. This is Jim Williams hosting today for Steve Ryman. Steve will, of course, be back tomorrow. We appreciate so much our listeners. And if you have any comments or questions about any of the events or anything that we've talked about, please call our Connect line at 505-338-5790 and leave a message. You won't be able to reach us directly today, but you can inquire about different things, and Steve will pick up those messages and be able to talk to you about them. As he hosts the show. Binary trends. This is going to allow you to continue your rant.
Absolutely. Look, they're coming for the kids. The forces of evil understand that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Yes.
And so we're seeing a landslide now that really was kind of pent up energy from the 60s, the 70s, and the lasciviousness of the last 40 years, and now it's broken on. And I think a lot of people in the older generation are going, I think we're astonished by how dramatic, how severe, and how deep this attack is on the family. Look, if the family goes, Jim, the country goes. There's no country without a family. And so the nuclear family, the father, the husband, the father, the husband, the wife, etc. Without that, we lose it. And you know, the birth rates are going down. There's a death culture in the demand for abortion. And the fact is, look, I have a niece. She lives up in she'll go unnamed, of course, but up in the Northwest, and just a sweetheart of a girl. And her mom told me today, well, she's acknowledged herself as binary, and I'm going up next week to visit my son Jesse in Portland. I said, I want to reach out to her. She said, be very careful how you address her, because she'll be offended if you use the wrong pronoun. Well, I'm not a big I was never good at grammar, so I'm not even sure precisely, you know, what and how to do that. But I that like rocked my world, Jim, that I've got this relative of mine who's saying, well, make sure you address me as the proper whatever. And that's happening nationwide, worldwide right now. Yeah. And that's an attack. Look, ultimately, it's an insult of God. God said major things about the human race. The first thing he said is male and female, I created you. Okay, and we're saying, no, we'll decide our own sexuality. Secondly, he said, go and multiply and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. We're saying, no, we'll kill what children we decide to kill and keep those we decide to keep. What an insult to God.
Yes. Chip, we should probably say this first. There are people that are transgender. There are people that are homosexual, heterosexual, you name it, in any walk of life. Mm. Does God love any of them less because of their station in life?
Of course not. And he would have all men come to Christ for salvation. He loves them, I would say, differently, because it's a more severe love, perhaps, understanding that love, if it doesn't drive them to repentance, will result in their eternal separation from him. But we welcome, you know, there's a phrase going around, and I'm still pondering it, Jim. I haven't landed on it completely, but some churches are saying you don't have to believe to belong. And I'm like, I wonder about that. You can come and observe, but you really can't belong to the fellowship of the saints until you've repented and come into communion with those. So, I mean, I understand the spirit behind it. You can come no matter what your persuasion might be. But matter of fact, biblically, you have to believe to belong.
And I would say that you can't be in any relationship unless you believe. You can't just be there. That's a fallacy. There's so many lies in the midst of the culture that we have today. What's so difficult for me to look at is that in the cultures that we're talking about, in transgender and different things, there's so many souls that are being lost to suicide, and the rates are just out of control. I mean, something is wrong if you're involved in a culture where people are devastated by what they're doing every day.
Yes, yes. And I want to be really clear. I want to welcome, you're really talking about the difference between a spectator and a participant. So those who spectate on relationships, and I want to welcome people to Calvary or any church to come and Jesus said, come and see. Come and see me. But, you know, Paul was very clear. He said, don't take communion if you haven't come into relationship with Christ, because he said you bring serious stuff upon yourself. So you really can't come into the church. You can come to church, and I welcome anybody in any condition, any persuasion. As Jesus said, come and see.
What about things like climate change? Is that an indication that we're nearing the end?
What an oxymoron. Climate does change. I mean, like, oh, we're fearing climate change? Well, stick around. I mean, that's been the history. You know,
especially if you've lived in New Mexico.
Look, it's a hammer they're going to use to beat us into submission. There's no question about it. You know, back in the 70s, it was the Ice Age was coming. Then it was global warming, and that wasn't working. They just now go, oh, the climate's changing. Well, welcome to Earth. That's the way it is. You know, is there some marginal impact upon the, mankind? But don't give yourself that much credit. If you fly around the world, you know, first of all, two-thirds of it is the ocean, which, you know, doesn't have any humans around it. And most of the world is uninhabited, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, should we be better stewards? Jesus said, you know, God said to Adam and Eve, go and garden, steward the garden. But this is just a tool they're going to beat us to death with.
Chip, I've noticed sometimes when you have these kinds of movements, I don't know if their motivation is money, but it seems like there's a lot of money going to causes that's being wasted.
Power's first. They already have the money. They don't need money. They want power. Power is the issue with these people. It's about controlling more and more of our lives and separating the elites from the deplorables.
I can't help but think about our forefathers. I took a little course on Constitution 101 and some others with Hillsdale College. And I really enjoyed it because I read about things that I've never taught in history classes in the Albuquerque public schools. And one of the things that you read about is, for example, take George Washington. George Washington could have easily been the king of America. That's how popular he was. Yet he wanted a peaceful transition of power. Again, let's refer back to our leadership things we're talking about. This is a person that was humble. Now, maybe he had arrogance. I'm not talking about him being a perfect person or anything else, but he was a person that led for a time that he set and set the example for the rest of our republic. Yeah. And I'm amazed by that.
He totally humiliated himself by humbling under the opportunity, as you say, to be king. He said no, because he understood how that power corrupts. And unfortunately, our leaders today have lost that lesson.
There's a whole thing called cancel culture today. And maybe this will be the last question I ask you. But I look at Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson was largely the author of the Declaration of Independence. Yet he was a slaveholder. And the cancel culture people would say, tear down all the statues for all the perfect men, or for all the imperfect men and women that led this country. Let's get rid of all their stuff. Well, there's not going to be any leaders left because there is nobody perfect.
Well, let me pivot the give and go on this one, Jim. I've kind of had a revelation on the woke culture because you kind of look at it and go, oh, whatever. But it came to me recently. The whole woke culture is a pseudo false salvation. It's a counterfeit born again experience. Oh, I see the whole world differently. That's precisely what happens when you're born again as a Christian. It's really a counterfeit Christianity.
I really like that perspective. Yeah. And I hope people will take the information that we've talked about today. Obviously, in an hour, you can't cover all these topics.
We tried.
But we did. Yeah, we tried. And I again want to go back and talk to you about upcoming events. Weekend to Remember, Reload Love's Love Bomb, The Peak, opportunity for young people to go skiing. The Movement Conference, Skip's Prophecy Series is coming up. Where's Dad video special, and we're going to be bringing you special reports from Jordan and hearing about Chip's trip out there to see Larissa, and she's out there digging in the dirt in the excavation at Tal al-Hammam. So, Chip, again, thanks so much for joining us on ABQ Connect, and don't forget to join Steve Ryman tomorrow. We appreciate you being here.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.